Another verse. And all God's people said, amen. All right, we're moving right along. Romans chapter 12. That's where we want to go. We'll start there anyway. So we're looking at these gifts of the Spirit here recorded for us in verses, specifically verses 6 through 8. And we want to look at those again. We'll get started at that. Want to look at verses 6 and 7. Let me read that for us, and then I'll start with verse number 8 as well. Let's all read it. Let's all read it. Verses 6 through 8, would you read that with me, please? Romans 12, out loud together. Here we go. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And last week, Yeah, I think we finished up on the gifts of teaching. We've been looking at the function gifts specifically for the last few weeks, about the gift of prophecy in verse 7, how that is God's way to speak, uses a person to speak under the influence of the Holy Spirit and to share in edifying, exhorting, and comforting the body of Christ. The gift of ministry, which is service in the Christian life, it's a main activity for those that have that God's touched with that particular gift. Not everybody has the gift, but everybody can minister. We can serve, but God says, I will have certain people I'm setting aside for that, as well as prophecy, ministry, etc., who have a great desire to meet those needs. Then the gift of teaching, a teacher who is called to expand the congregation's knowledge of God, something all believers can grow to do. We all have responsibility to teach something and some people that God has put us in their lives. But the specific gift of teaching here, referring to in the local church, in the setting of the local church, that helps us to learn more of God. God has teaching opportunities for all believers, a gift of the Spirit that is used in all categories of the gifts that we see in Scripture. And then we finished off with a warning of too many teachers, as we saw in James, that some things that are kind of need to be there when we say, hey, I think the Lord wants me to teach. Well, here's some things to keep in mind. The words are accountable. Our words are accountable before God. Wisdom should be evident before teaching. Teaching God's truth carries accountability for souls. Specific teaching roles are needed in filling in the body of Christ. And teaching is needed in any ministry where learning happens. And there's lots of opportunities for that at church, in the ministry of the church. Now we want to look at verse number 8. He says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Let me share with you, first of all, what this is not, and then we'll pray. Sometimes we get this idea, maybe you don't, but I have in the past, that this is a gift of drilling into people, here's what they're supposed to do. That this is a gift of, I had a word in my mind, but I don't remember what it is. But somehow we're supposed to drive them to do it, and God gives us basically perseverance to keep telling them, that kind of thing. That is not what exhortation is, but I'd like to share with you what the Bible says that it is tonight. That's basically what we're going to look at this evening a little bit, and then we'll continue on next week with it as well. But let's talk about tonight the gift of exhortation. He says in verse 8, he that exhorteth on exhortation, that he would continue to serve and use that gift for God's glory. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, we thank you again. We can open up the Bible tonight. We pray, Father, that you'd help us to see what you see, dear Lord, that this ministry, this gift of exhortation, though it's needed, we're all responsible for it. There are times here in the setting of the local church that it is. We need it desperately, and I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts tonight to see just what you want us to do. Even tonight, Lord, we need some exhortation tonight And we pray for your help as we are encouraged by your word this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what is exhortation? We're in Romans chapter 12. Take a look at verse number 1. Verse number 1. Let's see. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word beseech, same word as exhortation, used in verse number 8, exact same word. I beseech you, brethren, Paul says, I urge you, I ask you, I'm trying to encourage you, etc. That's the same Greek word, and we'll look at that in just a minute, as used in verse 8. In fact, let's go to Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Would you go there, please? Ephesians 4, let's look at verse number 1, verse number 1. Let's read that one together. Would you read verse 1 with me in Ephesians chapter 4 together? I therefore, can we read that together, folks? Ephesians 4, verse 1. If there's something, sister, can we help you? Or is...
No, I just got sick.
She's sick. Okay, okay, all right. Well, let's pray for you real quick. I'm going to ask Charlie, since you're right there, would you pray for Sister Carolyn that she would feel better?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity this evening to be here in your house. We do ask that you'll be with Carolyn, Lord. We don't know exactly what the issue is, Lord, but we just ask that you would touch her, strengthen her, give her healing, Lord. Be with Dan as he takes her home. Give them traveling mercies. We just ask that you would have your way in her life.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, we'll be praying for you, sister. Sorry about that tonight. All right. Now let's look at Ephesians 4. We'll let them head that way. Verse number 1. Would you read that with me, please? It'll try and get back to the Bible. And we'll be praying tonight for the Helmicks. Well, let's read that together. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Again, there's the word beseech translated here. The same word that we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, as well as verse number 8. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then if I could have somebody look up Colossians 4, verse 8. Who would look up Colossians 4, verse number 8? All right, Kim's going to do that. Thank you. Let's see. Why don't we just go ahead and do some of that there too? Who would read for us 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4? Who would read for us that verse? Nice and loud for us, please. All right, go ahead, brother.
Good comfort of us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by of God.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone want to take a guess which word in that verse is translated? It's the same word, Greek word used in Romans, Ephesians, and Romans 12 there. Any guesses? Comfort or comforteth, that God uses to bring strength and comfort to us. So that is the word, to beseech. Here's the next blank, to comfort. On our paper there, that is the blank. Helping or urging someone through words. Helping or urging someone through words. And calling to one's aid. That's the next blank, calling to one's aid. In English, this is not how it would be written necessarily in Greek, but in English, transliterated paraklesis. Does that remind you of anybody in the New Testament? Paraklesis or the paraclete? Does that remind anybody of someone in the New Testament? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He is called the Paraclete. We're going to look at him in those verses as well. Colossians chapter 4. Let's go there. Colossians chapter 4. And Kim's going to read that for us. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, verse 8.
Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts.
Okay, there again, the word comfort, beseech, exhort, all the same word. And used in these various ways, used in these various passages, but the same idea, to exhort. Exhort. Now the word exhort, that gives us an idea of what the definition is, as we share there in front of us, to beseech, to comfort, helping or urging someone through our words, and calling to one's aid, calling someone alongside to aid us. That is exhortation. Exhortation is not scolding. That's the word I was thinking of. Scold, scold, scold. That's not exhortation in the Bible. Exhortation in the Bible is beseech, to urge, to comfort, and to encourage to do right. That's what we're talking about here in Romans chapter 12. Let's take a look how it's used, the Holy Spirit, as he comforts in John chapter 14. Let's go there. John chapter 14, please. And let's look at verse 16 to verse 18, and then we'll skip down to verse 26. And I have someone who'll be ready to read verse 26, a single verse there in verse John 14. All right, thank you, Bob. I'm going to read verses 14 through 18 first. Here's what it says in John 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then verse 26, please. Okay, thank you very much. So here's number one here. Here's the statement. Exhortation is a function, or you can say ministry or activity, whatever you want to call it, but a function of the Holy Spirit. This is something he does. He exhorts. What does the Bible describe his exhortation like? Well, here, as we see in verse 26, he glorifies Jesus. It says, the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He glorifies Jesus, that's the blank down there, and he declares Christ's message to believers. John 16, let's go there. John 16, take a look, just a couple pages, and starting in verse 13. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit does a lot more than just these things, but this is what Jesus explained to the disciples. Here's what he's going to do for you in order to see what I want you to do, to share his my truth with you. Verse 13, I'm in John 16, verse 13. I'm going to read down to verse 15. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That phrase, show it or show, means simply to declare. To show, to declare unto us what Jesus wants us to do. God says, Jesus says, I want you to know what I want you to do. We have the Word of God, amen. We have the Scriptures in front of us. We have the Gospel. But there are things in life in detail we need some help. Why is that? What does the Bible call believers in Christ? calls them sheep. How many have ever been around sheep before? When I was a kid, there was a big sheep farmer down the road, and he had, I don't know how many sheep down there, because the rest of the land was all cattle ranch, but he had this area that was his sheep ranch. And every once in a while, you know, if one sheep went one way, they all went one way. And if one sheep went this way, they all went this way. But every now and then, one would get away. And he said to me, the reason why they do that is because, and it's a simple answer, they're dumb. Sheep are dumb. So that's terrible talking about sheep. He said, no, it's true. It's true. They just don't always know what to do, so they're always looking to follow somebody. And God says he wants us, his children, to know what his son wants us to do all the time. So who did he send to us to help us understand? Okay, here's how I need to operate today. Here's where I need to go today. Here's how I need to prioritize my day. Because the scriptures certainly give us truth, but some of the details we need the Holy Spirit to tell us. Who do we go see next? Who do we call on? Who needs that encouragement today? What is it that I need to change in my own heart and life? God says, I've sent the Holy Spirit to exhort you. And he uses people in the church as well. So let me finish with number one there, exhortation. It's a function of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, or the Parakletos, guides us into God's truth. That's the blank, God's truth, and glorifies Jesus and declares Christ's message to believers. Glorifies Jesus and declares Christ's message to believers. That's a key thing to remember, by the way. Who is this message? Who is this? Whoever is standing in before God or before us in the presence, who is this that they're trying to glorify? If it's not Jesus, something's not right. Something's not right. The needles go up, the flags go up. Say, wait a minute. I thought Jesus was supposed to be the one we're supposed to be like. And God says very clearly that's what he wants us to do in Scripture. So exhortation, it's a function of the Holy Spirit. Exhortation is a charge for all believers. That's the blank, all believers. Hebrews chapter 3, let's go there. It is a charge for all believers. We're taking a look here at verse number 12 and reading to verse 15. Would you read responsively with me on that? I'll read verse 12. If you would read verse 13 and verse 15 there when we get to it. I'll start with verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Hold on. Chapter 3. You were probably thinking, what version are you reading there, preacher? Verse number 12. I'm sorry. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Where are we? You read verse 15. Okay, let me read verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Let's go ahead and read to the end of the chapter, actually. Go ahead and read 17 and 19 later, please. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Okay, so how does God use the believer? One of the ways he shares here, to exhort one another daily. Two, here's the statement here, to urge saving faith in Jesus Christ. To urge saving faith in Jesus Christ. Exhort one another daily. continue, serve the Lord, but put faith in Jesus Christ. And he shares the example of the Israelites that did not make it to the promised land, etc. But he uses those words, belief, unbelief, etc. And God wants us to be clear that we know Christ as our Savior. Amen? That's what he wants us to have, a solid faith in him. Hebrews chapter 10, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10. So that's one exhortation that God shares with us we need to be aware of, encouraging one another, urging one another. Verse 24. By the way, how many times do you have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your faith on him for that eternal life? You only got to do it once. You only got to do it once. If you do it. If you do it. It has to be complete and total on him, on the Lord, and nothing plus that. Verse 24, verse 25, I'm in Hebrews 10. Let's go ahead, follow along. I'll read for us. And let us consider one another to provide unto, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What's another thing that God wants Christians to do, to exhorting, to urge love and good works in the church? To urge love and good works in the church. These are not the only things, but there are others that God wants us to exhort one another with. But certainly he says this is part of growing in the faith, not forsaking the assembling, but exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? You know what? They thought the same thing back at the time of the Hebrews was written. It's getting closer every day. That's right. And he might wait another 100 years. From our perspective, I don't know what he's got to wait for, but that's our Heavenly Father's wisdom, and he's much smarter than us. But let's go ahead and ask his help tonight upon these things. Remember Sister Carolyn and Brother Dan as well tonight.